Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
They say change is healthy and change is good, but this one kind of hurts. And I may or may not have shed a few tears before this show started. And this is very weird to say, folks. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today. A Sports Ethos production. This is Aaron Brewski. I'm about to bring in somebody pretty damn special, and it's going to be for a reason that's, I'll be honest, I bet there's a lot of tears out there. The great Dan Bespris joins the show today as we have some pretty big news to deliver, and I'm just sitting here tiptoeing over.
I know.
I know this is going to be hard. I just heard a couple teary goodbyes, and It was tough, man. It was really tough. And you probably can hear it in my voice a little bit right now.
Who's delivering it? I feel like if I have to like do my penance here and say it myself, right?
We don't have like a drop in that can just explain this.
Yeah, no, we needed a pre-recorded tape by somebody on Fiverr, I guess.
I can do it if it's helpful.
No, I should have to do it. That's fair. So, yes, obviously everybody recognizes this voice. Hi, friends. This is my final episode of Fantasy NBA Today.
There you said it.
It's really, really weird to say. And I have this same feeling of like the last day of a minor league baseball season after you've called 140 games in 152 days and you've aged 14 years in one season, or like the last one ever for the Bakersfield Blaze. Because at some
Your
point,
face
you
looks
just
like the leather of a glove.
Yeah, totally leathered. You look like the guy from Oildale that was carrying the tortoise under his arm. And you don't know what the last thing is you can say. Because as long as you keep talking,
then
it's not over.
I want to go back to the tortoise thing. What is that?
So
I left out
a really key detail that guy had a massive, super offensive tattoo on the arm that he, so I left that part out. Cause as long as I leave that part out, it's sort of like a whimsical tale of a guy who carried a tortoise under his arm,
other one's just sad.
Yeah. If I filled in the details, you'd know why I didn't tell anybody my religion when I lived in that area. I was across the street from that guy. I was like, oh, maybe hey, there, that guy's got a pet tortoise. Oh no.
Not that guy.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like in my mind, as long as I keep talking, then it doesn't actually become official, but, it is. I wanted to make sure, for one, that we got through this NBA season before I did that kind of self-reflection part. But this year for me was a really interesting one in that this is easily the most play-by-play I've done in a calendar. I don't know if it's a calendar year, but like a sports year. For me, a sports year is college basketball and then college baseball right now. It runs from basically November to like 2 weeks from now. And you know, back in 2016, when the Bakersfield Blaze went under, I did probably like a dozen games the following year. And some of it was just because of life changes and whatever. But this year, places and, you know, self-flattery, I guess, but places kept asking for more. And it's been really awesome to get back into that universe. My kids are not like old enough that they don't care if I'm gone, but they can handle bedtime without me here. And, you know, the because their school runs late enough.
Can I get to that moment, please?
Yeah, you're holy close, moly. Man. You're close.
It doesn't feel like it, but sorry, I'm stepping on that.
No. It's good that because me monologuing about nonsense, that you need two voices on a pod. That's right. That's mostly
because the great Dan Vesperus has made it work with one.
Yeah,
voice, for the most part, you have guests.
The long days.
Your monologues are what you're known for, man.
I know the Dan Vesperus, Zach Morris pause and look at the camera moments. But you know, like when the kids are in school until 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, and so the babysitter can do 3 or 4 hours at the end of the day, and then that allows the wife to get home from the hospital and she can have the kids for the 2 hours before bedtime. If I'm gone for a day or two in a row in the evening, not the morning, the place doesn't completely fall to pieces. And that kind of happened this year. And it sort of allowed me to kind of reflect on things. And I don't want people to think that I'm done podcasting. In fact, it's really, it's, I don't want to say quite the opposite, but it's really just that broadcasting was always the reason that I woke up in the morning. And a lot of the things that Sports Ethos needs right now are things that I can't do anymore. And I think that's probably the most fair way to put it. So my intention here is to really invest myself in a lot of stuff that has kind of always been the long-running passion for me. And unfortunately, that means that that I have to step away from the amazing things that we've done here. Brew, you and I, basically, I mean, you since day one and me since like day 35 or something like that. I think you started in like March.
Let me be the host for once. Let's put the hair down.
Okay.
Dan just sit back.
Wait, I'm flipping the Fabio
Lux.
Relax
and have some fun.
Okay. I like being a guest. I get to
you
get
on
weird.
Camera so we just see you shuffling around in that seat over there.
Yeah. I'm flicking out the hair that I used to have.
I wanted folks to kind of just go through this timeline. I mean, the Sports Ethos and Dan Vesperus is like America and Apple Pie or something.
Hoopballers!
Yeah, Hoopball. I mean, the history in this place is, I was thinking of like, what's the best moment? I want to share that at the end, and I don't know if I have one, but
I'm so glad you told me that was going to be a thing, because I racked my brain and I came up with like two or three that still make me laugh all the time.
Okay. Mine are kind of like a theme, but... Like, so, I mean, how we met is actually not Sports Ethos. I don't know if you even remember, but we needed to fill a spot in a high stakes league. And I think I tweeted about it and you hit me up and I think you said, what's the entry fee?
And I was like, that's too high. Oh, man.
But, you know, I think you still had the same avatar that's staring at me right now. It was this little South Park character with, you know, microphone.
That was my Twitter avatar, and then I just moved it over to our company Slack when Twitter was like, you got to put your face on here now.
Did Twitter make a rule you had to have a face on?
Yeah, if you wanted to, like, well, at that point this was the pre-Elon days, and if you wanted to get verified you had to have a face. And I was like, all right, yes. I guess I'll do a face. And then it still was like, why should we verify you? And I was like, honest to God, I don't know Twitter. And then Twitter. I gave up on it.
Bad things are heading your way, Twitter. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I mean,
it might just happen.
Just give me the damn stamp, you jerks. I'm breaking something. I'm breaking news, or I'm giving people analysis on it. But yeah, honestly, I had actually forgotten that. And then you said a number and I was like, nope.
it was so, like, I mean, I think then after that, we started talking about contributors here. And how I even remembered, I think, was like the next message in the direct message thread was your message about, well, what's going on with at the time, Hoopball. And I saw the message, oh, that's a guy from the high stakes league. And that was actually my first clue that I was onto something good. It was like, if somebody's got the nads.
To even reach out.
You know, they might know a thing or two.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't nads, Brew. It was pure unabashed stupidity at that point. I was like, "What's a high stakes league?" Because I was in like a $100 league with my friends. I was like, "I bet this is gonna be interesting." And then you were
$200.
Yeah, it's like, this is gonna be like $250. And he's like, "Nope, a little more, bud." Like, oh yeah, no, I'm gonna go ahead and hone my craft a little bit. Can I tell you what I remember, and then you tell me what I'm getting wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I remember, and this is in like, I think it was in like April of 2016. Does that track timeline wise? You'd had HoopBall for like a month or two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes, yes. It was February. I want to say February 2016.
Yeah. So I think I reached out like a month maybe after that, because I saw you had, I believe, scheduled tweets going out about HoopBall at that point. And I was like, I think I saw him tweet about this. Maybe they do need people, and I don't know, fantasy sports, and okay, I'm here with the Bakersfield Blaze, but listen, I can't tell anybody, but I just heard that the team's going to be dying in 5 months. I'm due to have a kid in 6 months. So timing-wise,
right.
I got a lot going on right now. And I think I reached out and I was like, how do you get into fantasy writing? And you were like, you do a blurb shift. And I was like, what's a blurb shift? And you're like, it's this. And I did one. And you were like, you know what? You did pretty well for a first timer. But what do you do for real? And I was
That's how I remember that.
You
were wonderful.
No, you were, come on. I was probably fine.
You write extraordinarily well, Dan.
But I was super nervous.
But when you hear the golden pipes of Dan Bespris and you know he's got a broadcasting background and you have designs on a pod network.
Yeah, that's when you were like, no, it was like, talk about this.
It was kind of one of those things. It was like, if you didn't figure it out, maybe something's wrong.
And you said it, and I was like, that sounds like it'd be right up my alley. And then you and I did shows like once or twice a week, I think. I would crawl up to the Bakersfield Blaze press box at like 2 in the afternoon when nobody was around. Batting practice was happening. So there was just some music going on outside, and you'd probably hear it. And we'd record one or two shows a week. And then I think I ended up doing a show once a week in between there with Vince Miracle. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it was you and Vince.
But didn't we do shows at least once a week in there too?
Oh yeah, yeah. And it was before, it was funny because I mean, this happens quite a bit, but we'll like develop an idea probably about 6 or 12 months before it kind of goes mainstream. There was no real YouTube, like, you know, interactive shows going on, and that technology was just in its infancy, and so it was like, yeah, we got to jump on this, and we were doing interactive shows with listeners at the time.
Oh man, my unmade bed, Dan Bespris' unmade bed.
And we were doing a lot of shows, and there was a point in time where I was writing every single blurb on the website for like 5 months. And I want to say that was easily like the most plugged in I think I've ever been. And you would just rattle off questions, start sit questions from people left and right. And there was one moment that actually stood out to it's not the best moment in sports either. This. We had talked about 29 teams and you asked me, like, I think I forgot one. And I was like, it's the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I think that's why I was like, can you name which team we didn't cover right now? And you're like,
But we were just in the trenches doing that stuff. And it was funny, I guess, because, Asher was born. And then now you gave me advice many months later that was like, I don't remember the first 3 months of his life.
Oh, it was way more than three. It was like the first nine.
It was nine. Yeah. And, during that time, there was a little bit of a pause. I think you were doing two shows a week or something.
Like right after he was born. Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
we didn't even have a feed for it yet. It was just being dropped into the Cause and Brew feed at that point.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We signed up for Libsyn. We got our first real feed for Fantasy NBA Today at Libsyn, Liberated Syndication Podcast, in December of that year.
And Drunk Rob?
Oh, man. I totally forgot about that. Our sales rep. Yeah, we couldn't figure out if he was wasted or not on every call. Oh, that was crazy. Oh, my God, the early years.
So needless to say, I mean, how we met and how we got started the genesis of HoopBall and now Sports Ethos and this sort of sprawling multi-sport empire. It's part of the reason I was, pardon me, that's actually allergies, but I was like dropping tears before the show is the amount of history in these walls is really crazy. Taking this thing from essentially like a 5-man operation to over 50 contributors. I'm probably shortchanging that number somehow. It's just been a phenomenal journey. But before we go into too much more, how long have you been doing play-by-play? Have you been doing it since you were 15?
I'm, honestly, I think I've been doing it since I was like six.
You were the kid that was doing the recording over the game.
I was the kid that
as
just,
the game was
yeah,
going.
Basically, I was never done talking, and I got in trouble my entire life for it. And for some reason, along the way, I convinced myself that I was going to be a doctor, and like eventually that was not going to happen. And it wasn't because something really stopped me. It was like I got into medical school. I think people know that listen to the pod. I have a degree in molecular biology that I don't intend to use ever. But at some point along the way, I was like, no, this isn't it. I don't want to do all-nighters with, like, cadavers. That's not the life that I want. I want to just listen to the sound of my own voice because I'm a hopeless narcissist like that.
Have you seen or heard the tale of narcissists?
It's gonna be great. What could go wrong? And then it was, like, right after undergrad that I started really getting into it. Professionally, I've done play-by-play since 2007.
Didn't you meet like Eric Hasseltine?
Yes,
am I getting the name right?
Hasseltine, yeah, the Grizzlies radio guy. So, still like he is the reason that I have a career in play by play. Not that he's listening to this podcast, but maybe we can tag him on it or something. So, thank you, Eric. You're incredible. I went to, and this is going to sound so insanely lame. I was at my cousin's July 4th barbecue in 2006, I believe was the year. And this was like right around the time, hold on, let me make sure I get my timeline right. I graduated undergrad in May of 05. I took a year off to work in a science lab. Yeah, okay, I think it was July 4th, 2006. I was at a cousin's July 4th barbecue, and like a friend of a friend, older gentleman, because in 2006 I was 23. So one of my older cousin, it was like, probably in his 50s or something like that. Not an old gentleman, but older than me, was like, hey, Dan, have you heard about the broadcaster camp of, or sportscasters camp of America? Because I had been telling people that I wanted to pivot into some sort of broadcasting, and I'd been muting NBA on TNT and calling it into my computer and that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, I've never heard of it. Please tell me more. And he was like, oh, it's a place where professionals, some of them big league broadcasters, are basically counselors of a week-long camp. And then I read about it
a
little bit more.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, but then, so it was put on by Roy Engelbrecht, who's like a big-time boxing promoter. I don't know if he does it anymore. This, again, was 20-something, almost 20 years ago now. And I signed up. I had stashed whatever it was, $1,500 away from tutoring SATs to kids in the Bay Area during that year after college. Because you know what, Aaron? People in like the Menlo Park area, they're willing to pay pretty handsomely for those types of
I can't
of
imagine why, Dan.
Yeah, I don't. Woodside, right? Isn't that the area that's like the most expensive in there?
I think so.
Yeah.
But it's been a bit.
I tutored the kid, and he's probably, okay, so let's see, he was like 13 in 2006. So what the hell does that make him now? Like 31? Kid's 31
sure.
Now. I think it was the founder of PeopleSoft's family. Anyway, so they had money. They had an extra house that was literally dedicated just to toys and video games. I was like, this is a pretty cool spot.
My God.
So anyway, I made a decent amount of money tutoring SATs, and I had saved up whatever it was, and I paid to go to this camp, and it was like this is it kind of moment. This is the money I've got. If this doesn't amount to anything, I'm bleeped, however you want to. Listen, I haven't sworn on this show in 8 years. I'm not going to swear on it now. And it was at that camp that Eric Hasseltine was sort of like the basketball wing guy, and they had a minor league play-by-play guy. I think it was Jeff Lasky, who I ended up working with in the California League. He was the baseball guy. And I'm trying to think of, there was like a Fox Sports anchor who did the keynote address at the end. But the shell shock moment for me was showing up to this thing, which was down in Long Beach at like a courtyard or something. And there were about 40 people there. Half of them were 12 years old. I'm not kidding. I walk into the room and I saw like...
Did you have to bunk with them?
No. Well, here's the thing. The story it goes from there. So I did not have to bunk with the 12-year-olds, but I walked in and I saw like half a room of kids about to go through puberty. And I thought, oh, crap. Like, I just blew my savings on this. And then I looked at the other room, and it was 20-year-olds, and I thought, okay, that's closer to me. What did I say? I was 23 at this point. And they did put me with the only other kid, I can call us kids, the only other kid there that was out of college, who's still a good buddy of mine, his name is Josh Rogel, and he and I bunked together, because we were like the what the hell do we do now duo, and then there were like 18 college juniors who were the, who ran their college sports station, and they knew exactly what they wanted to do in life, and this was like stepping stone, etc. And then there were the 12-year-olds where the parents were like, this looks fun, and they just dropped him there to go learn how to do play-by-play. But that guy, again, that guy that I bunked with, that ended up playing a really pivotal role. So I did basketball. It was at the Long Beach. It was at the Pyramid at Long Beach where Summer League used to be back in those days. And I still remember to this day, I called a Rudy Gay NBA Summer League game into a little tape recorder. And the counselors, in this case, it was Eric, would come along and he'd put one headset in and listen to each person, each one of us, as we were going down this little runway. They had a setup on the concourse, and there were like 10 tables of just kids practicing play-by-play. And at the end of camp, he like kind of slipped up to me on the side, and he was like, you're legitimately good at this. Call me. And I was like, oh, whoa. Like, maybe this camp was worth something. So I called up Eric, and he was like, I have a lot of connections at UC Davis. That's where I went to school. Talked to my buddy, Larry Swanson, who was probably in his 70s 20 years ago. I hope Larry's still around. And he'll get you doing something. It's like, great, something. Because at this point, I still lived in San Francisco. So I got hooked up there.
The opening to the broadcasters, Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, everybody always wonders, like, how do I get into that? And it's like, well, somebody's got to, like, die.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's the punchline of this damn story. So.
Oh, sorry.
No,
sorry,
it's okay. So nobody died at UC Davis, but I would drive up from San Francisco every Saturday to do sideline reporting for UC Davis Aggies football. I know. It was like, got to do something. But as the year went on, so this is now the fall of 2006, we got into basketball season. And the student radio station, which is the one that I was able to just sort of throw my hat in on, covered the Davis women's basketball team. And I did color commentary with Andrew Tomsky, was my buddy up there who was ran the sports station. So he was another guy who kind of like knew what he was doing. By the way, I think he might be the SID at Sac State.
Oh, what's that name again?
I think the last name is Tomsky. So keep that in the
Tomsky,
back of your head.
Huh?
So he let me do color commentary. And the big moment for me, and this was not like when I got my big break, but up to this point, my parents were like, what in God's green earth are you doing, dude? You were in medical school. You legitimately got accepted and you said no. What are you, some kind of an idiot? My father, may he rest in peace, when I told him I was not going to medical school to be a broadcaster, he said, what the hell are you smoking? And I was like, weed, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. And so Tomsky, Andrew, had to go on a family trip to Hawaii over New Year's, which is like got to. And my whole family, cousins, aunts, uncles, the whole thing, they all go to Vegas over New Year's. And in this part of my life, when I had a digestive system that was only like a 55-year-old's instead of 80, I went to Vegas with my family over New Year's. But I got this call from Andrew that was like, I'm going to go to Hawaii. Can you do play-by-play for two women's basketball games while I'm gone? And I was like, damn right I can. So from Vegas, I just hopped on a plane and I flew to John Wayne Airport in Orange County because the games were actually back at the Pyramid, believe it or not, the scene of the crime, and at UC Irvine. And my whole family huddled in a hotel room around a phone or a computer or whatever it was at that point, listening to me do this broadcast on the internet. And I still remember the call I got from my dad after, when he was like, you should do this. And that, I actually get a little emotional about that still, because he's gone pretty, now.
I don't know how you drop that one and don't shed a tear.
I did. Talk about something for a sec.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the tough part about falling in act like Dan Bespris is the, you know, current host of Fantasy NBA Today, is you have to be able to take the baton and run with it and,
whew,
you know, monologue about that, whatever hard. The heck is going on in the NBA these days. I don't know if there's anything going on in the NBA these days.
Nothing.
Maybe we'll touch on that, ooh, later on in the show.
Okay, sorry about
it's,
that.
I mean, these stories and why we've always wanted to support your play-by-play is I just knew, even before like the word hello came out of your mouth, I was like, this guy, like, first of all, to give up medical school.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
To do some, you idiot.
Yeah, basically. I'm aware of it.
It was like, I always, like knew that this is where you needed to be, especially with the voice. I mean, the voice, the articulation, the, you know, the on the fly. I mean, and then that's before, God forbid anybody lets this guy broadcast a game in another voice. Like, I mean, actually, that might even be my favorite moment in Ethos history is like the behind the scenes stuff where we are like, Dan has us in stitches, like keeled over, the laughs have occurred and then they've kind of died and then they come back again and we just can't take it anymore because Herbert has arrived and
sweet Jesus. That was, well, you got to warm up a sales department somehow.
this is a great development for your career and the, you know, like, I was like, maybe we'll talk about a day in the life of Dan as a fantasy analyst because it's a really unique thing. Like, I mean, we've been through COVID, we've been through,
COVID.
You know, the being there for your child, and it's one of the things like COVID really helped this out for me. But you know, just in general, like you know, we have this flexibility, so to speak, kind of not really, to
semi,
be there
yeah.
for our kids as you know. Primary caretakers. We're just, you know, in the guts of it. I know that when you go to the park with your kiddo, you know, and the group of moms is just sitting there and you just walk up and you talk to them because you're one of the parents, right? You know, it's like you're just in the trenches and you know everything that's going on and that as a fantasy analyst or just as a media content person, I mean, we've all worn so many hats over here. It's this crazy existence. Like you do get to do a lot of these amazing things, like, you know, as I mentioned, raising kids or, you know, other projects like play by play, but like you're just connected in this crazy way. It's and it's evolved. I got a little taste of it before Twitter arrived at NBC Roto-World. And even then it was crazy. We were working off an RSS feed to capture all of this news. Prior to that, or maybe a few generations before that, newspapers were getting delivered to the Roto-World warehouse.
What the hell are those?
So basically, before like, the way that this industry started, Rick Cordella, who now runs, I think, all of NBC. I'm not even kidding. Like he's like Jack Donaghy from 30.
Well, it's the perfect time for us to use the Liz Lemon line. Man, what a year it's been. And for you as Jack to say, Lemon, it's May.
You know, I watched that entire series and I don't remember that.
Well, that's
my
one
brain
of those,
is not what it used to be.
I feel like that's a meme that got used during COVID a lot. It's just like, what a year it's been. It's May.
Well, and I mean, so we're just sitting here like, you know, jacked into the Matrix all day long. And it's like this combination of exhausting, but you get to watch your kid play. You also get to do all of the very tough stuff. And like, you know, it's just this grind of a existence, and it's got its wins and it's got its losses. But like, you know, the day in the life is you get up, you read the news, you know, you kind of got the news on in the background and it's just scrolling by all day. You get a little behind, you catch up, you get a little behind, you catch up. You know, if you're producing content, you're just kind of racing. And now more than ever, because like
you can't miss anything. If you miss anything, you're doomed. It's the craziest thing. Like, because someone out there is going to see the thing that you didn't see. There's 900 damn reporters and bloggers you got to be following right now. And if you miss one little stupid note, like someone's going to tweet at you or respond to the podcast or whatever it is to say, oh, no, you got this one wrong. It's like, for goodness sake, do you know how many things you're trying to balance here? Yeah, it does make you very sharp. That's damn true. But you can't miss a thing.
And then you know you get to the games and it's like, you know, you want to watch as many games as possible and there's only so many games you can watch and you kind of have a strategy for that, and then you wake up and you do it all over again. And it's funny, that sounds kind of like terrible in many ways. Like,
no, that's the good part.
But yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say, is like the people who've made it in this industry are the ones who love that. You know, we jokingly call ourselves degenerates and we jokingly kind of, you know, make fun of ourselves with it. But
joking?
Like to almost, I don't know. No, I think it's a badge of honor. I think like when I think of all of the people who've made it in this industry, they kind of like in a good way fought to get to do it. You know, like it's like I remember we would fight over blurb shifts You know, we were just like, oh, you got, oh, yeah, yeah, you need to go do something. Okay, cool, cool, cool. I got your blurb shift. Yeah. And to a man or to a woman, it's like, boom, if you had that in you, you know, that this was the place for you. And but at the same time, you know, to be able to do that, you know, in I don't know how anybody does it, let alone how we do it. And yet, you know, we got to kind of sit here in this little awkward space and consider what life without Dan Bespris is. And at the same time, it's thoroughly exciting. Actually, this is probably a great time to talk about, you know, I don't know how much you want to tell people, but like, you know, this isn't the end for Dan.
No, absolutely not.
This is a way for you to continue being a, you know, dominant voice in this industry, but also some of these other projects that, I don't know, am I giving anything away right now?
No. I mean, it's not all like, I don't have plans lined up, which is probably dumb because when you shift, you should probably have a better idea of what the hell you're doing. Yes. The short answer is yes. Yes. I definitely plan on continuing to be in the fantasy space. But there's just so many things that happen at a place as magical as Sports Ethos that I can't give my ass to in the way that I have been for so long. And so that's why, like, there's, I don't know if it's whatever trait you want to call it about myself. If I'm not going to be able to go at 180 miles an hour at something, I sort of don't like,
hilarious.
I kind of don't want to do it. By the way, the end of that other story wasn't the sad part about my dad telling me to go into broadcasting. It was that I got a call from Josh Rogel 4 months later saying that the lead broadcaster for the Visalia Oaks had gotten in a fatal car wreck, not him, the other guy, and they needed a new number two broadcaster. So I got my first paid broadcasting job, quite literally, because someone died.
Oh my
that
God.
That actually happened. And I've parlayed
so
that
I
into whatever this is.
And it happened.
Yeah, it's real. You're like, how do you get into this? Well, you got to wait for somebody to die. But usually, like, you figure it's like a 95-year-old broadcaster. Nope. In this case, it was him having like a...
Where were you on the night of... Whatever night, Dan.
When I got that phone call?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember. I remember Josh calling me up and he was like, he called me Don Bez for some reason. He's like,
no,
Dan!
I'm accusing you of a crime right now.
Oh.
Not where you really were.
Oh, right. I was somewhere in the Bay Area, if you want to know where I really was. I just remember him saying, how fast can you get to Visalia? And I said, where? Who? This is... He's like, California. I'm in your state.
I don't want to pull
state.
The whole Charles Barkley act right now.
Yeah, who he play for. What?
No. He went in on Galveston.
Oh, Galveston. Yeah, I figured it out, and I drove there, like, the next morning. It was, like a four-hour drive from San Francisco, and interviewed, and Tom Seidler, who is now the CFO of the Padres, part of the Seidler family clan. He owned the Visalia.
Should I be putting money on Dan Bespris at the Padres?
I don't believe so. I think they've got entrenched. Tom always liked me, but
I'm putting my money. Okay, for all the listeners, I got $25 on. What are we going? 1,000 to 1?
Maybe I should reach out to Tom. Tom, what you up to, bud? How's everything down there? San Diego's pretty nice, I hear.
Who's betting the other side? I want to know where to collect my money.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't know if I can handle a big league job right now because the kids still are kind of too young for that one where, like, daddy's gone for 6 months.
Well, the good thing is it'll take you a couple years to help me win my bet.
Yeah, it's fine. It's an indefinite.
They won't want to talk to you then.
That bet has an until death statute on it.
I'm gonna start hunting around in San Diego.
Please,
if
you want to get me
accelerate
that?
Accelerate the winnings.
I'm into it. But yeah, so to answer your actual question, yes, I still will be doing, I hope, a good deal in the fantasy space. But I can't give myself to what this place needs, which is all the things. I mean, we don't need to get into how many hats I've worn here over the years. But when you have a small startup the way that this
several
is,
hats.
Several. And I have to take off a number of them, and that's kind of not fair to you guys, you and the Sports Ethos team, if I'm not able to do the jobs I've been doing the way that I have been. So this is also, it's kind of two-sided, you know, it's an opportunity for me to go do a lot of stuff where I hear myself talk, but also it, I don't want to say spares you guys, because that sounds self-deprecating in a way that I don't think I intend to, but you just, there are folks that should be doing it that can give their whole butts in a way that that I can't right now. But man, it's crazy to look back on these last 8 years. 8 years.
You know, when you when you're in the foxhole with somebody, you just want what's best for them. And that we appreciate. I'm speaking on behalf of everybody at Sports Ethos, even though I'm not entitled to.
Again, they didn't, screw it. Go for
they
it.
They didn't sign a deal that says that I get to do this.
They better give them a freaking paper
could,
to sign.
We could implement
this. Yeah.
It's, you know, to when you're in the foxhole with somebody, you just want what's best for them. And this allows you to do what you deserve to do to make this, and you better make this dream. Here I go, I'm a little pressure. You better make this happen.
Yeah, it's true. I'll feel pretty dumb if I
don't. You have the talent to really, I mean, when I hear, the easy low-hanging fruit joke here is, when I hear an NBA broadcast, damn, somebody call Dan Bespris. Just help us all out, please.
That'd be nice. That'd be sweet.
I mean, I've been a witness to the greatness the whole time, and I mean, it is a little silly. I mean, I say this a little like tongue in cheek, because we all take this very seriously, obviously. I mean, this is a big deal for all of us over here. And it's a big deal for the people who play. I mean, talk about a passionate group of people is the Ethos community and the fantasy community at large. And it's been this way. I've witnessed this for damn near 20 years now. So when I say this, like, you know, we're kind of collectively the universe is wasting Dan Bespris on fantasy basketball. Dan Bespris could be calling, you know, professional, whatever, basketball, you name it, baseball. You know, you could probably be hosting like a debate, you know. It's
I could be an Ernie Johnson. I could I'm a pretty level-headed fellow.
It's one of those things where, you know, you kind of just want to see greatness unfold. And that's
But I'm going to stay. I'm going to still do fantasy stuff. I want people to know. I won't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave you all hanging.
And that's awesome. Like, that's, I mean, we're kind of like the best of all worlds kind of an approach here, where you get to keep that industry leadership. Everybody gets to, and basically just kind of stay tuned for, you know, all of the next stuff for Dan Bespris. You get to keep doing all of that. You get to keep being there for your kids, but you get to keep chasing this dream that's, you know, like, again, somebody who takes says no to medical school and
what a moron.
And somebody, I can't even believe the story about the camp. I remember you told me that a couple times, but the story about a camp for broadcasters is like,
yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
It feels like a skit to me or something.
I still have the like very ridiculous graduation certificate from this camp. And this is like,
I'm telling you, it's a skit.
I got my whole career because of this. Thank you, Eric Hasseltine. Like, it's crazy. A million times. I did finally get to buy him a beer like 6 years ago. The Grizzlies were in LA. I happened to be free on that day, and I met him down at LA Live, and I bought him a beer. And I don't know if he remembers that night, but I do. So it's like, finally, I got to buy him a beer, because none of this would have been possible without him popping an earbud. And I don't think there were earbuds in 2004 or 6 or whatever that was. I think he threw an actual, like, one ear of an overhead headphone on his head and was like, hey, this kid's kind of good. And so that's how I ended up here. But really, like, I think if anything, people out there in the public are probably going to hear more of me, because I'm just going to talk endlessly now, because that's the thing that fuels me. Like, it's funny that, like, there's so much stepping back happening for me, but a lot of it is the stuff that people never even really knew I did before. That's a strange sensation.
Yeah, I mean, you get to lean in.
Yeah, lean in.
And that's what this is all about. So,
can I tell you one of my favorite stories?
No. I'm the
yeah,
host.
You go first.
You're the two chair, and I get to sit here and dictate content.
That's fair. Okay, what's next?
Oh, let's take a question from the readers now.
What do they have to say?
It's Tiberius.
Hey, Tiberius, he's back, baby.
He wants to know everything. Everything.
We know who you are, Tiberius.
We know who you are.
You clever fox.
You know, you could send us a tip, you know?
Like, yep. We're here.
And you could get a tip for anything these days.
That's right. Oh, man.
Okay, you can want to tell a story. Do you want to do any basketball talk? You got any thoughts?
No, I got no basketball talk at all. I've been
Clippers Mavs. You don't got anything on Clippers Mavs.
I had the Mavs winning that series. Because honestly, I thought we weren't going to see Kawhi Leonard until mid-series, and then we saw him, and then he disappeared again. So I guess it's sort of like six of one, half dozen of the other. But that was where I sat right from the get-go. Now, I thought there was some value in the series.
Yeah, just wind him up and let him go.
Yeah.
Cavs magic. You got anything?
I got nothing on that series. I am fully tuned out on Cavs magic, which is so silly because we've had... It's incredibly not fair of me to do this, but like with all the stuff going on, with all the family discussions and like mental anguish for me over this last week or so, I ended up kind of tuning out basketball a little bit because it's not fantasy. So I thought, all right, no one's really relying on me right now. I could kind of half tune it out. I watched the Lakers Nuggets series really closely. But then I thought, all right, you know what? Like I need to take a break. Yeah, I need to reflect on things. And so when I'd normally be having a game on in the background, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like sit and think. Or, you know, if my kid wants to build a magnetile tower, I'm gonna do that instead. And it's been honestly weird. Like I felt a little stir crazy in that moment.
There's something I should be doing right now.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what. I
should be like racing back to my computer to find out if anybody's hurt. But no, Dan, it's the playoffs. It won't impact fantasy unless somebody's down for a season. And don't worry, you can get that from the Sports Ethos feed later on tonight. It'll be fine. See? But also, people should know, I'm still going to be screaming from the mountaintops to follow Ethos Fantasy. Well, it's going to be Ethos Fantasy NBA, by the way. I know, there's a change coming there. And join all the damn leagues that are being run, because those are getting massive. So, you know, people can maintain that. I can't wait any longer. I have to tell the story of the live show we did where you wrote the word poop ball on a whiteboard behind you just to see if anybody would comment on it. And nobody commented on it.
I don't even remember the name of the guy that was helping us for a little bit, with some web stuff. Didn't he change it for like a split second?
Just like on
was
the
poop ball, like or... poop ball.
Oh my God. I just like, we did all that insane crap. All of the live shows I had were with my bed in the background, the poop ball in the corner of a whiteboard. Oh, that was
my,
amazing.
My memories of this are just this kind of like relentless focus by, I mean, when you look at who we have involved on this project, like it's quite literally, I feel like the dumbest guy in the room sometimes. Like, it's like the all-star team of people who get crap done. And so it's just like, so with that, we've got that going on. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but this industry is in deep, deep poop ball. Like it is
poop ball.
It's a weird thing that the popularity of stuff, I don't think it's gone down, maybe a little bit, you know, there's discussion about that all the time, kind of like sports in general, I think, competing with 5 gazillion channels and TikTok and whatever the hell else people are watching these days. Maybe there's something to be said that sports is having a little bit of a dip of a moment. Certainly not NFL football, but like,
never.
I think every other sport is dealing with some kind of an issue of some type. The industry itself is in this super bad place. You see people getting let go left and right. You know, if there was a Brinks truck coming through, you know, from like VC kind of lands and making massive investments, you would have seen it. It just doesn't exist right now. What does that mean? It just means that I don't think anybody wants to drop, you know, $50 million on a bet that somebody's going to be able to monetize content in a way that makes that kind of a bet, you know, a viable one for those kinds of people. You know, they're looking for things to explode by 10x, 20x, 100x, and things like that. So what you're left with is you've got these kind of old school conglomerates that, you know, work in partnership with the leagues, and, you know, the leagues want to have people playing fantasy because fantasy makes oodles of money in terms of eyeballs and attention and, you know, kind of big time advertising dollars, keeps people on websites, and, you know, gaming is now you know, the new DFS in terms of annoying people with commercials and being in the discourse. But, you know, in terms of on the ground, people playing fantasy leagues, what are they doing with their fantasy leagues? How are they consuming their entertainment information? How are they consuming their analysis? And, you know, even the fantasy gaming systems themselves, the Yahoos of the world, the ESPNs of the world, the CBSs of the world, you know, they haven't made upgrades and improvements. You know, probably half of those companies haven't made upgrades and improvements in their systems in 20 years, because this industry has this weird thing going on where ad dollars completely dried up, you know, at scale, so to speak. And, you know, there's this movement right now of people who are trying to figure it out, that know that there's definitely a ton of demand out here. It's just a broken economy, largely because of what I just said with ad dollars, largely because of monopolies at the Google and the Facebook and, you know, these big, big tectonic plates that control so much more beyond sports. You know, the models are just broken, and nobody wants to see that happen. And Ethos, now Ethos, Sports Ethos, was built to do the tough thing, which is to create sustainability for all people that are a part of it. And so as a result, you know, we're sitting over here on shoestring budgets, and we're just like, you know, we're just flinging things together. And that's my memories of this thing, is like, kind of like, you know, you and I getting on a show that's about to start in 3 minutes, and, you know, we flip the lights on, and there's the Dan Bespris's Unmade Bed, and I'm sitting there looking like I got beat up with a bat. The Unmade, you know, and we're just like,
didn't you say someone in your high stakes league named their team Dan Bespris's Unmade Bed?
They did. And that team was too good for its own good. You know, I had to compete against that team, and I was like, did Dan enter?
Nope, wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
But, you know, just like the craziness of like, oh, we got to do a show. You know, we got to sell a product. We have to improve. We have to iterate. We have to do all of these different things that keep us ahead of the Joneses. And all while, you know, the big pieces in our industry, you know, we're just sitting there crumbling. And so it's, my memories are just the whatever crap we were throwing against the wall, you know, to try to advance the cause. But the good thing is that you've seen that, you know, the people that are involved with this company, they have this credibility. They have this, you know, this way about the way that they do things, and they all pull for each other. And that to me is like, when I kind of try to explain it to somebody on the outside, I'm like, yeah, I know like 20 really smart people, and we work on this crazy project involving fantasy sports. And, you know, and, it's just hard to explain. And thank you to all the people who are involved, that are doing all of this, that, you know, this sport, the reason it brings people together is different for everybody involved. You know, listeners, why you play, usually it's like, you want to hang out with your friends, or you want to keep connections going. You're connected to the sport. You played the sport. You loved watching the sport. You watched it with a parent. You know, we got guys that work with us because the fantasy sports bond between them and their no longer with us parents are so strong that this is just the thing that reminds them of their dad, so to speak, you know. And it's bigger than just being a game. And so I get why we do it. I get why we, you know, even people that are just fans of a basketball team, why they kind of live and die by it, because in this world, which is spinning like crazy, doing whatever the heck it wants to do, you know, it's the one place that you get that, you know, you get that piece of entertainment after the end of a long day. And so we've thrown some serious mud against the wall, but, you know, brick by brick, which, by the way, doesn't happen without Dan Bespris, we have created an entry point to be able to do the heavy, the hard thing, which is create something sustainable for everybody involved, where everybody can look in the mirror and know that they're a part of an organization that cares about each other, will go to the mat and, you know, try to build this thing. And I really think that we're seeing a lot of our ideas proliferate. And hell, if we want to talk about Dan Bespris's ideas, Dan Bespris created the Twitter market, I think, with everything I see out there. It's like, if I want to see Dan Bespris content, I don't have to like, I won't get Dan Bespris content, but I'll see 100 versions of Dan Bespris content.
I really do. And I really wish they'd just tag me on it at this point. I'd be way less irritated if they were like, hey, I like this idea that at Dan Bespris did. And then I'd be like, okay, at least you're kind of owning up to it. I'd be fine with that, you know, because, you know, the whole like imitation.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, attribution.
Yeah, don't hide it.
Attribution's hilarious. It only matters when it's like a person with high ethics or like, I don't know, like I think if you're I used to never get it attributed by the major news outlets when I was breaking King's News. It was hilarious. It's like, why not, guys?
Yeah, come on. It's right
like,
there.
Hey, Woj, how many stories you need?
You know? Oh, but, man. So many now. My God.
Yeah.
NBA, NBA Twitter. What a place.
He and his breaking news banners. I have a breaking news banner that I want to send out. It's a picture of my dog.
It's not Darvin Ham today.
Sitting in a circular thing he shouldn't be sitting in. Anyway.
I got plenty of Darvin Ham thoughts. I can save those for another time.
Well, you might be, I mean, I'm just going to mumble something out of the side of my mouth. You might be able to give those thoughts out.
Yeah,
you
know, possibility.
On a regular basis.
Maybe you know what I mean. Everybody stay tuned. There's things happening everywhere.
There's going to be a lot of announcements, and this show's going to continue, and we're going to, you know, do our best to fill the California-sized shoes of Dan Bespris. God help us all. I don't know how one does that. But this show's continuing. We're just kind of at Ethos. We have so much actually in the pipeline, and that in of itself is it's probably its own show of everything that's going to be added here as we go. The future for Dan Bespris is definitely bright. I don't know. What am I missing here? Did you have a favorite moment?
Let's see. Poop Ball was one of my top ones. I think on that same show, we actually tried to say the word poop ball as many times as possible.
And then we couldn't, or...
We got through a few before we started giggling like idiots. Oh, man, what was the other one? I had these, and I didn't write them down. I had like two or three that I had clicked into my brain before the show started, and now my brain's doing the thing it always does. One has to be the run-up to when we switched over to a monthly model. That's got to be one of yours, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
When I just told you guys we had to do it that night.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a couple. I mean, so much of that. Like, I remember we launched a draft guide once. It was like, you were like, since something like, we launched it.
Yeah. I was like, we can't. It was, I think it was like Friday morning. I was like, we waiting any longer. Nobody's going to see this damn thing. So we got to do it.
And me and Chris Chow, one of our web guys, like, we just stayed up all night just like putting things into the right place. And it's, but that
but
I mean,
it worked.
It just speaks to the, yeah, it worked. And I mean, look at it now, you know, thousands of subscribers, multiple sports. It's, you know, it's what we all envisioned. I don't know if we envisioned the path that we got there, but, you know, it's just a testament to people putting their heads down and going. And again, I mean, I can't say it enough. Like it's an all-star team of people in each of their professions and probably should be doing something way more important than what they're doing right now. But that's why I think Ethos wins, you know, in the long run is you get enough good people together and good things are bound to happen. And that's what we're going to do. And unfortunately, we're going to have to do it a little bit without Dan Bespris. I will.
Well, I'll still be shoving everybody your way and everything that I can't or don't want to do.
This is officially the part of the show where we yammer yammer.
Yeah, I know we're yammering.
We're
yammering.
Just kind of.
I'm just thinking about like other things that. Okay, so like this year's trade deadline show was one of my favorite moments because it's the biggest show we've ever had in the history of Sports Ethos. That was amazing. Let's see what else. Oh, how about when like world renowned sports superheroes that and this has been happening to you before I got here, then all of a sudden they're like sliding into my DMs. I'm like, what's happening right now? That was incredible. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, but we can't go into any more detail
yes,
on that.
Yes.
These things are insane. Like, running into someone I see you, man. I know you're listening to this show, so I'm going to talk about you. Running into a real life person who recognized me on the street as Dan Bespris of Fantasy NBA Today because of the video elements that have started to happen on Fantasy NBA Today. That was nuts. I got recognized on the street for hosting a fantasy show.
Were you with your family when that happened?
I was, but they were at a table eating. I was coming back from getting a lactose-free option for lunch. They all got pizza, and I had to walk somewhere else.
I've found that when you're with your family during those moments, it's just really funny because like they just obviously see you as Dan.
Yeah.
Right. You know, no big deal. And then that happens and they kind of are like, oh, crap. Now I have to listen to this guy bloviate about how cool he is.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
The people in the world of whatever, you know, like it's really crazy. The people that play fantasy and they get they almost get a little awe. You know, it's like, no, it's definitely the other way around. I'm in awe of you. You're not in awe of me.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I read your stuff religiously and what you wrote really inspired me. And, you know, or what you said really inspired me. And it's like, oh, my God. I was talking about like,
you know, you're talking about Andres Beatriz.
Yeah, exactly. Great Andres Beatriz reference.
Thank you.
I was thinking of Luke Babbitt alerts. You
Luke, Luke Babbitt, Babbitt alert. Well, I remember it because we used that as a password for something for a while.
We haven't changed that password, Dan.
Well, they can figure out what it's too good for them.
All right, well, let's put a pin in this show because I know you've got to go.
Yeah, that's true. I got to shower.
Honestly, it's showers.
Yeah, I know. What's that? I know. I've got a sitter here.
I did a meeting with a sponsor without showering the other day.
Yeah, but I heard it went well.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
We didn't know for a little bit. I was like, wow, well, it could have been this one thing.
Nah, bro. Your man must brought was going it home. Well.
Until I mentioned tattoos and my fragrance.
Yes, that was your musk, man. That's a closer's musk.
It is a closer's musk. I've been told I do smell well.
Oh, my God. This is a second Instacart that's come to my door in the last, like... Listen, I'm a fancy man now. I don't do my own shopping anymore. No, now that people
you
recognize me,
haven't done your
me,
own shopping since the pandemic.
Yeah,
sir.
It's true. I know. I was gonna make a joke that since people
this
started
is a man
recognizing
that gets an
me,
Instacart like you know pack of gum sent to his house.
Well, sometimes you got to chew some gum. Well, I hope I'll be welcome. I'm putting
you
on the spot.
Let's stop the yammer yammer. In all seriousness,
I know we gotta wrap it.
We wouldn't be here without you. We wouldn't be where we are without you.
I love you, buddy. I would not be here without
been
you.
Enriched in ways. Don't step on me. I'm doing something sentimental.
Okay,
here.
Okay. I'll do mine after.
My own life has been enriched in ways, like I'm a better father because of you. You know, and seriously, like listeners, like this guy gave me a lot of advice, and I needed all of it to handle it. That thing with the 9 months was great. I knew I wouldn't be remembering it at another point in time.
That's true.
You know, so I just you know all that I can't even remember what it was. but it's, you know, I really do hope that everybody that's listening understands what exactly Dan means to us over here and what this is, you know, this is really tough, you know, as my voice kind of quivers upward at the end there, it's really tough, but it's the right thing to do. And it's going to be really, you know, it's bad news for other broadcasters out there. Because
right,
this guy's going to come and get your job.
I'm coming,
but
baby.
In a good way, you know, somebody that doesn't lose their job for somebody.
No, I'm not stealing anybody's job, just for the record.
It's just an opening, you know? And yeah, somebody happened to pass the other day, and we don't know where Dan or Brew was on the night of the event. But
lead pipe.
You know, especially that San Diego one where Brew's got a bet on it.
Yeah, conservatory, lead pipe, that whole thing.
No, but it's, you're going to get out there, and you're going to do that, and it's going to be great. And the ability for you to be able to continue being an industry leader as you are, you know, doing this plan and being able to kind of do that without the pressures of what Ethos needs and Ethos needs a lot these days. It is a 24/7 growing and thankfully kind of getting out of the early growing stages of a startup, moving into, you know, sustainability and all of that. It's a tough business, and I'm glad that you're out there doing this for yourself and for your family, and that you get to be the dad that you are. That's probably the most impressive thing about what you bring to the table is that those kids just have an amazing father, and all of us are just amazingly touched to be a part of this with you. So,
well, with crap, that was, geez, man. Well, first of all, thank you. I think everybody should know that I've told you this off the air. I've said it many times in Slack chats, but I love you, buddy, and you know that. I would not be anywhere near where I am now if not for what you did for me 8 years ago and have continued to do for me throughout every day since, right up to this moment, which is giving me, like, the Lifetime Achievement Award to stand up on my, as the guest on my own show, which, like, no, you didn't have to
yeah,
do that
either.
Yeah, I gave
you a Lifetime Achievement Award just now.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be really fun for me. I'm very, very excited about being able to sort of lean in on all things broadcast and being able to steer everybody to this place that I helped build. Like, I hope everybody understands that part, too. I still feel very connected, and I think I always will, to Hoopball Sports Ethos. And so, like,
I didn't really want that name to get out there, by the way.
I know. It's
Hoopball. It was just too easy, right?
It was right there. And the fact that we were the ones making the joke, I think, was very important. But we've done so many incredible things, and you guys are going to continue to do all these remarkable things, the growth of all the different sports at Sports Ethos, and just the way of, like, doing everything in, like you talked about, the trenches, man. Like, to have people here, everybody's so freaking good. There's no weak link at this place. So that's why I know Ethos is going to be fine. And I know he's not on this show, but I got to give a shout out to Andre, who's just, like, the most amazing.
The best of us.
Yeah, the best. He's the best of us. That's a perfect way to put it. And he doesn't want anybody to know who he is outside of, everybody else knows him as the guy who runs the leagues.
He gets, like, bashful when I tell him that.
Yeah. He'll do the bashful thing too. He's the guy that runs the leagues for everybody that, like, that's what you'd know him as externally, and our European Hoops show, but he's so much more to Ethos than that. And, like, knowing that you guys have this thing under control, everything's going to be fine, and I'm just going to keep throwing everybody your direction, because I am going to be out there ranting and raving about Nikola Mirotic on an annual basis, so that's never going anywhere. Thank you to obviously to you guys, but also thank you to everybody that's interacted with me, that's listened to a show that I've done over the last 8 years. The growth of, like, it's not a coincidence that a lot of my best memories are when Ethos hits these crazy markers that I never thought were possible, whether it's, you know, downloads on a pod or sales on a draft guide or whatever it is. Like, that's the, you guys, that's the listeners, that's the followers, the readers that have just powered this ridiculous thing. And I, so many times over the last 8 years, I've sat back and I've gone, how did this happen? Like, how did I get to a point where someone's recognizing me in public for a fantasy basketball life? It's all surreal and amazing. And that's why I'm never going to let go of the fantasy stuff. So, you know, follow me on Twitter at Dan Bespris. Yeah. I got to get it in there. I know it had to be done for old time's sake.
I'm running the show, man.
I know.
Follow Dan Bespris. It's at Dan Bespris. DanBesBris.
Why did I keep that last name? Why did I keep that last name?
It's
questionable decision-making.
It's a tough, I'm going to probably shed some tears after this one, too. And we will see you guys on Monday.
Yes! Nice pivot.
Today.
Nice pivot.
It's alive, and we're going forward to fill California Earth-sized shoes, the Earth-sized shoes of Dan Bespris. Anything final you would like to say on the show that you built?
Oh, my God. Thank you, everyone. I love you all. Please stay tuned. I don't want to use this show to market what I've got coming next. I've always thought that
was
sort of like...
No, please do. No. Please do. If you have it, please do. Don't be
well,
like
the
that.
First thing
it's,
on the
it's very nice of you. I appreciate the gesture, but please.
I know. I just always think that that's like, okay, by the way, I'm gone. Follow me here.
not that we've seen that before.
Yeah, well, like a million times in this current space. First thing I want to do is something Dodgers related. I'll leave it at that. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. That was my first
Didn't
sports
Vin Scully
love.
Pass?
Yeah, but I think they've got they only have the guy who they only have Joe Davis who does the World Series games. I think they're okay. Their radio is a little bit of a mess, so
better watch out, Joe Davis.
Yeah, no, he's fine. I couldn't take that job in a thousand years. But yes, that's something that I wanted to do for a really long time. Like, that was the team I actually grew up with on the baseball side, and I worked in baseball for a long time, so that's probably the first thing people will see. I have to figure out a lot of logistical stuff to get to that point. I probably need to dramatically improve my graphic design skills. Or hit up followers. That's something that's worked out in the past for me. So hey, if you guys can draw, I could really use help, please, Lord. But yeah, that's the first thing folks should stay tuned for. But I'm still gonna be tweeting rampantly about idiotic fantasy stuff. So please don't. When I do something, when I do shows like this, when I talk like this, the conversations I've had with you and Andre and whoever else, it always feels like. The end of it always feels like I'm dying. I'm very much not. I'm very alive. And if anything, you're going to just hear my voice more because I really like the sound of it. And
You mean to tell me that everybody gets more?
Mm-hmm. But wait.
That's a wonderful
more.
Ending.
See, that's a happy
everybody
ending.
Everybody gets more Dan Vesperis. More. And everybody gets more sports ethos.
That's right.
I love it.
More Dan, more ethos. Live the ethos. Hoop ball for life. Shout out Josh Millman. Hoop ballers for life.
Would you like to take us out?
Oh, man. One last time.
Or shall I? You want to do it?
I don't even know. What the hell can I say at the very end of it? Feels weird. I guess. Okay, I'll do it. One last time. One last time. But again, it feels like when I take it out, there will be a show on Monday. I will not be on it. But thank you all, again, everybody, from the bottom of my heart for 8 incredible seasons and about 7 incredible years of Fantasy NBA Today. Excuse me as I clear my throat. None of this would have been possible without all of the different tiny little likes and retweets and shares and feedback and 5-star reviews on iTunes and on Spotify and subscriptions and YouTube
and
all that stuff.
Oscar music playing you off the stage.
Yeah, wrap it up. And the dude from Chappelle's Show hitting me with the wrap it up B box.
Yo, wrap it up, B.
Wrap it up, B. You guys are incredible. I love you all. I'm Dan Vesperis. And that's the end of my time. I feel like you need to say something at the end there. It feels weird.
Show on Monday. Watch out for Dan's Twitter account for all of the new details on the Dodgers show. And he isn't saying it, but I know there's way more than that going on after that.
Yeah, there'll be more.
Enjoy your weekends. We'll see you next week. Peace.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.